All right, welcome to episode 11 of Joke Artists. We are your hosts, Ryan Dever. That's me, and
Jason Katz.
Right.
Ryan has a problem where he just keeps saying the word "end" a lot, but
yeah,
doesn't know the meaning of it.
It's like when you accidentally put your like elbow or arm on a keyboard, like a keypad of like a computer, and then it hits one letter 1,000 times. That's what happens with my brain. The doctors call it a stroke.
Yeah, and other people who aren't doctors also call it the same thing.
What's going on in this episode today, Jason?
Yeah, we got a guest for you. This is going to be great. We have Jared Fried, hilarious comedian. He's got a ton of podcasts, J-Train, You Up, Rose Rehash, and The Bachelor. And I assume that by the time this airs, he'll have another podcast up. And, you know, well, he's doing our podcast, so that's another one he's actually on. But the great thing about him is that the energy never dies. So no matter how many podcasts or shows or anything he's doing, he has perpetual energy and he just keeps it up.
Right, which was actually the original title for Tomorrow Never Dies. It was actually called Jared Fried Energy Never Dies.
Right.
But Pierce Brosnan was very upset because he was like, it's supposed to be James Bond, not Jared Fried.
Right.
So he had them change the title. Rightfully so, I get it. But, that's just how much Jared does. He does not stop. The guy is hilarious. He has a new special coming out, too, which we got to talk to him about.
Oh, yeah. Comedy special coming out, half hour. It's going to be amazing. It's coming out right onto his YouTube channel.
So why don't you go to his YouTube channel, you jerk?
Yeah, go subscribe. Wow. Jeez, what's your problem?
I don't know what's wrong with them.
I don't either. I mean, selfish is what I think.
Yeah. Well, let's go talk to him.
All right. Well, here's a conversation we had with Jared.
We have a very special guest tonight. He's a hilarious comedian. And fortunately for us, sadly for him, he agreed to do the show. His name's Jared Fried. Jared, thanks so much for coming on the show.
I'm so sadly, I'm very happy to be here.
Whoa!
I love a phoner. I'm always up for a phoner. That makes things. It's just nice to not be at like the Zooms become. You're so locked in. You just can't even like. And I'm a walker and a talker and too loud. And I like to like right now. I'm in Boca. Actually, I'm in Boca Raton, Florida. Are you really?
No.
No.
I feel like. Well, listen. I'm about to sound like an asshole to anyone that is not like. If you're in New York right now. I'm sorry ahead of time because life is different down here from what I hear.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's very different. it's much sadder, but,
it's a different story here.
Let's end the podcast.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot.
That's all the time we have for today.
Yeah. Jared was a communist. Yeah. Someone learned that. How is it down there in Boca? How long you been there?
My parents lived down here and they had a little guest room and they were like, why wouldn't you just come down here? And they're like, this is ridiculous. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And I came when it started getting cold. I was like, I needed to take a walk. And when I started not being able to take as long a walk as I wanted because of the cold air, I was like, this is not going to be good here. And I'm here. I'm having a frozen yogurt. I'm sitting outside.
Oh,
it's a beautiful night. Nice. I'm sorry, everybody.
Well, no, we're having frozen yogurt, too. Ours froze over. Ours was just, we were drinking regular Go-Gurts earlier.
Yeah, they stayed frozen. The
yeah, so I think you should be the one that's jealous of us.
You're right. I listen, that's it. That's the show. I'm mad. I should be.
Well, take care. but no, I mean, I'm sure. Yeah, Boca's great. But you're a New Yorker, though, aren't you? Haven't you lived here for a while? Or am I wrong?
I've lived in New York since 2007.
Yeah.
But I'm from Boston. I'm from outside of Boston.
Right.
A small
yeah.
town. So.
So you're used to the cold, but it was just the COVID and cold, I guess, was the. Both of them
well,
together, you were like, eh.
It's, you know, like, it's this whole, like, working, like, my girlfriend and I live together. She works remote. I'm in New York to do stand-up. I'm in New York to go to the clubs and be out at night. And And B, when you can't do the street shows, you know, like the street corners are closed, what are you going to do? You know? So I was right. I think, like, you know, if you have the ability, I'm very lucky my parents have an extra room for me, you know, and it's like, why would I don't need, let's have some experiences, you know, like let's live with my parents. Let's argue with them. Let's have the, you know, I think, you know, like a one bedroom in New York was just becoming very, I felt like I was watching myself in a montage about my life. Like, you know, that, right? Like that moment where you, like, I would have this moment where I would, like, turn out of bed, look out the window, and then I would fast forward to looking out the window before turning into bed. And nothing really happened in between.
Yeah, like a bad music video.
Yeah.
No music. Exactly. No music. Yeah, just sad, sad music. And so I like, you know, I like the lifestyle of, you know, of doing, you know, I like being around New York. I like walking the city. I like going to a coffee place, doing some writing, you know, doing some, you know, being on my phone in there. Like, you know, it does help, but you know, people I think are in New York to have constant action, and it felt actionless.
Right.
Yeah, that action for sure is definitely not here at the moment. But I feel like, in your sense, I feel like a Seinfeld situation is going on there, because I remember, like, there was a bunch of episodes where he, you know, went to his parents, and I think they also, I might be wrong, but I think they were in Boca, and
it's,
I picture
really
everything tropical.
Del Boca Vista
yes,
is where the Seinfelds lived. Yeah. And it's hard to figure out the bits without going on stage, because everything here sounds like I'm describing those episodes of Seinfeld.
Right.
So right.
Did you kind of have this thought where, you know, it'll be good to have some sun and some fresh air and be able to walk around, plus I'll be able to get some material, but now are you saying that it's like, it's actually, this is tougher than I thought?
And I'm too relaxed.
I'm enjoying, I think, like, it is very much, you know, how the Costanzas would have these, like, quiet moments and then explode into argument and then get quiet again. That's kind of what it is. Like, my family and I, we get along. Like, I love my parents. I love my brother. My brother's down here, too. And so, like, so it's relatively easy for me. It's not, like, a bad thing. It's just, like my mom, one day I came home and she's like, "What did you do?" And I was like, "Well, I just ate lunch." And my mom literally goes, "Who eats lunch at 3:30? Like, her first reaction to me eating lunch at 3:30. And I was like, that is, like, I don't know how I could tell people about that without them going, "Estelle Costanza."
Right.
Like, I don't know how, like, I separate me from that show, because, and you don't want to sound derivative. You don't want to sound like you're, and I'm like, I and so now I go on these Zoom shows and I'm like, the biggest rule in Boca is you can't eat lunch at 3:30. And I don't even know what that's going to become, but I hope it's something.
Right. That's more dinner time in Boca, right?
Well, it's more dinner time. Yeah. It's well, I don't know what you're going to eat later. You're not eating at 9 o'clock. I don't want to hear you in the kitchen waking me up at night. And it's like, it becomes such a bigger argument than it's like, there was another thing. Oh, I threw away a cup with ice in it. And I'm laughing even thinking about this. I threw away a cup with ice in it. My dad goes, "What are you doing with the cups here?" And I was like, "What are you?"
Oh my
gosh. Said, "What are you talking about?" I didn't even know what he was talking about. He goes, "What are we doing with the cups here? You're throwing away cups with ice in it?" Like, he was talking to me about it as if I had drank all the alcohol in their house and had a drinking problem.
That's
awesome.
It was
actually insane. What do we do? And I was like, "I'm throwing away the cups." He goes, "You listen, there's a very specific way we do trash around here." That was a line. I was like,
"Oh my gosh."
What are you talking about?
And how specific was it? Just don't put ice in a cup and then put it in the garbage?
No, it's you got to wash garbage before it goes in the garbage because it's going to smell, and then they got to put it out on Thursdays, but they have good it was like a whole thing, and it's like you can't it's the problems of the problemless here, like nobody right. like and it's hard because right now we're I think like the hardest part of 2020 is you're brutally aware of people that are you know less fortunate that have had bad times and that's hard because you don't want to sound tone deaf.
Sure.
And the my parents are everyone here is the most tone deaf person I've ever met in my life, and I think it's hilarious.
I can 100% relate because whenever I go to my parents' house and I go to use the bathroom, and if I throw something out that doesn't belong in the bathroom garbage, somehow my mom goes, "Why did you throw this out in the bathroom garbage?" And I'm like, it's a garbage can. What difference does it make? Like the same exact thing. If I throw out like a red Solo cup or some sort of thing that doesn't belong in the bathroom garbage, if it's not, and I'm like, are you going through the garbage and looking at what I'm throwing out?
Are you good at throwing things away now as an adult?
I always throw stuff out, but whenever I go there, I just throw, if there's a garbage, I will throw whatever garbage I have into it. Like, I don't separate my garbage from, like, bathroom garbage to regular garbage. I mean, I wouldn't throw a piece of chicken out in the bathroom.
Well, that's the thing. It's almost like your mom, my mom does the same thing. My mom's been doing it my whole life, so I'm actually really bad at throwing things away.
Oh.
Because she didn't take out my garbage. She would take her hands and go through it with her fingers.
That's just
my
mom.
Take out the garbage. Like she would combine garbages, but instead of like taking one, tying it up, she would just go through it and then question you on the things you threw out. Like, you just using a lot of tissues. And it's like, yeah, I'm masturbating now, mom. Yeah. That's what's happening. God. Is that what you want to talk about? Like, I don't know how else to go over this. Like, you know?
It seems like they'd be more upset about the cup than chronic masturbation or anything.
Right.
Like that. Wow, they'd be that like... was when I was like 12. You know, this is now. It's the cup with the ice. We have a very specific garbage schedule here.
Oh, you can't
throw away cups just any day of the week. Like, I legitimately like am hiding garbage. Like it's crazy.
All your pockets are just overflowing. Yeah.
Under your bed, under your guest bed, there's tons, all your garbage is stored there.
It's all old mail. Yeah, and then the other thing they do is you have to remember like there are rules in this house. You know, like that's something you forget. Like when you live alone, you're the rule maker, so you remember all the rules.
Right.
So when you go home, there's a whole list of rules that you never made. So you have to get used to them. So it's as if I'm playing a game of Bop It. Like when I walk around the house, it'll be like, take off the shoes, close the garage, shut the door, lock the door,
flick it,
close the blind,
twist it,
click it, roast it. And if you ever mess up, you just hear like an old Jewish one, Jared!
Yeah.
I'm like, I lost the game of Bop It, I guess.
Oh my gosh. Man. That was like the initial toy that they came out with, but all the focus groups were like, I don't know, it's a little too annoying.
Yeah, let's do it.
The mom gave me shivers down my spine. I think we should change it to. Yeah. A bell or something. Yeah.
Also, why is it saying my name? I feel
too specific. Here.
Who's Jared?
2021 though has definitely changed you. Then, so 2021 and COVID for sure has definitely changed your scene up.
What was that?
He said that 2021 has definitely changed you.
Changed me?
Yeah.
Well, it has. I'm saying it's relocated you. It's changed where you are. It's changed all of comedy.
We're not attacking your character here.
No, you've changed, man.
You're like, wow, this guy, what a garbage.
Yeah, throw me out, but only on Thursdays.
Yeah. I it's definitely like, you know, I was going at shit hard. I still go at shit hard, but like with comedy, like you know, I don't like not working. Like, I like forward movement. New York, you know, is the place to move forward, whether you are or you're not. Like, you could always fool yourself in New York that you're moving forward. You can go to 4 mics in a night, get nothing out of it as far as bits are concerned, but you went to 4 mics.
Right.
You know? You could go do 4 shows. You could do the, you know, whatever. And I think it's been good for me as far as like, okay, where's the real work getting done? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So are you doing stand up there? Have you been able to yet, or is it not open? So, or
stand up you can do here. I had a guy get in touch with me with shows, but actually what I've been doing is I have enough of a following where I actually don't think the Zoom shows are so bad. They're close enough that can get me writing. That's really all I need them for. Like, I don't like the Zoom shows. Say what you want, but I love big act outs and moving on stage and doing the bit 360 degrees. Yeah. My bigger problems are saying it right and slowing down for it. Like, I can perform it before I can say it sometimes. So Zoom, I find myself saying words more and moving less. And I'm like, well, this might be good for me because I think the act outs will come once I know the words better. So I'm trying to become better. So what I do is, because I have this little bit of a following, I put up a Zoom link and I'm like, I'm going to do a show in 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And I get 100 people to show up in 15 seconds. And then they show up and I go, hey, and they're fans. So they're going to be an easy, friendly audience. And yeah. I say, everyone have your headphones in. Everyone turn your volume up. And I'm going to throw some shit against the wall. And they've been really helpful. And they're on tape and I can see myself.
Right.
I was doing audio recording. So now I'm getting it's like the difference between work and fruitful work. You know what I mean?
Right, because you could put those clips out and the audio bites or those little snippets.
Not even put them out. I can write better. I can watch them better. I can. It's instead. I think in New York, what happens is we go on stage so much that we kind of take it for granted, and that's something I looked at myself. I was like, man, you're getting up a lot, but for as much as you're getting up, you should have, an hour a week. What's going on? Where's this all going? You know, you should be. Really like have like these fun huge bits, and I was like, I think it's actually been more helpful for me to value some of the stuff I was doing via the Zoom stuff.
Right. I mean, well, not only Zoom, I mean, you're doing about 3 podcasts now, right?
Right.
Yeah, I have 7,000 podcasts. And,
yeah, no, it's great. No,
that's,
I mean,
incredible.
It's incredible.
I have 3 podcasts. It's ridiculous. I never shut the fuck up is basically what I.
Well, it's, you get paid for it.
You know, your podcasts really are aim heavily at, not aim, but, you know, focus a lot on, obviously, relationships. Has that always kind of been at the root of your drive in comedy? I know, obviously, it sounds silly to say, like, you know, because obviously life is relationships. But I mean, you know, like boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, boyfriend, boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend. What is it about talking about relationships that fascinates you? Because obviously you have 3 podcasts that deal with them.
I think that it's interesting. I think it's interesting, but I think it's also personal to me. Like, I have a girlfriend. I was out there dating. I was putting myself out there. And I don't know. Like, it's interesting to me when I hear, I like the emails that we get on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear the stories, I see myself in the story. Like, I'm not better than any of the people that they're complaining about or any of the people that are writing in. Like, I'm just the same as them. So it's always interesting to, like, hash out and talk about these issues, because I just think it's like, rich or poor, old or young, everyone's looked at someone and been like, fuck, I want that person, right? Or I hate that person, you know, like, everyone said it. Like, I gotta break up with them, or I gotta go on a date with them. Everyone said it. So, like, it's just, I just enjoy the relatability of it. And like, I also just find, I find putting a non-evil face on things. Like, I think like with someone writing in about their dating problem, they're like, this person is driving me crazy. That's why I'm writing to you. And it's like, I like humanizing that thing. Mm. Like, you know, like when people, like, you know, for example, the big topic is ghosting. Why would someone ghost? Ghosting seems so evil. And then you think about why right. someone would do it. And it's really for like, it's not an evil thing that they're trying to do. They're just trying, it's self-preservation. They're embarrassed. They're just afraid. And it's, I think when you can explain in those terms to people, it becomes interesting.
That's true. Cause I mean, again, you make it funny, but it is also constructive. And I guess you could also say that's what comedy is really supposed to be, you know, something that kind of makes us all feel connected in that way. But that's a good point. That's pretty interesting that, you know, you can use it as this forum to crack jokes, and also everyone learns something. So there is something to take away from every episode. I mean, I was even giggling at the episode you had about dating someone with herpes. I was like, just even reading the title, I was like, whoa, this is going to be wild.
Yeah.
And I mean, the fact that you guys even go into stuff like that is really cool.
Well, I think I've gotten so many messages about that episode already. And if anyone's looking, Erica Sparrow was our guest, and she's a hilarious comic. And kudos to her for being so open about it. And I think right now we have more, what I find so interesting is we have more ways to talk to each other than ever. And everyone's afraid of saying the wrong thing. So on the podcast, we have such an opportunity where I always say it's the For You What podcast. It's difficult conversations had comfortably, uncomfortable conversations had comfortably.
Gotcha.
And it's like, listen, and I think a podcast just like we're doing now is the perfect place for that, because I think we're just so used to people saying, you said the wrong thing. You sounded this, you sounded that. And it's like, to have Erica, who's a friend, who's a great comic, who I respect, come on and say to her, hey, we want to talk about dating with herpes. And for people to, you know, I'm not trying to be a hero. I'm saying for me, I get to play dummy and ask the questions that maybe someone's afraid to ask.
Right.
I get to air the insecurities and the fears that maybe a guy would have when a woman tells him that, you know, like, and in the moment, you know, we all have probably, everyone has moments in their life that they wish they could take back or act differently. So it's like, if this can happen over a podcast where I ask these questions and maybe you get you give the gift to somebody to be more prepared for that situation and not make someone feel bad or not feel bad that you're telling someone, like, what an amazing thing. And it's like, and of course, like I've had to learn over time. I've been doing podcasts for 8 years, I think.
Yeah.
You learn over time that like, you have to trust that I'm a funny person. It'll be funny. It'll be light. But you have to be genuine and honest and caring to these subjects before you can make your jokes.
Right.
And
sure.
I it takes time to learn that. And you have to trust it, because I think like, especially during, you know, doing stand-up, you're like, okay, I need laugh, 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 laugh. When's it going to come? When's it going to come? When's it going to come? And then, you know, podcasting and doing dating and relationship stuff, especially for an audience that wants to like have fun with the topic, but also like, you know, relate to the people, you know, hosting the show, you learn, you're like, the funny will come. It's going to be funny, but like, you're really going to like help. Just like, it's going to be a better listening experience when you just like let this conversation happen.
Right. And I think that's a testament to your comedy in general, of just creating this kind of fun space that just really makes you laugh. And I don't know, I really enjoy listening to you and watching your comedy, and
thanks,
the
man.
Fact that you have enough energy to kind of spread it
yeah.
I'm not saying you spread yourself thin. I'm saying the exact opposite. You know, you have these podcasts and you do your Rose rehash and all that, your Bachelor commentary. It's just so funny that it's just like shifting gears. Like, all right, now we're going to do this. Now we're going to do this. And we're going to be really good at it.
Right. And to keep up that same energy.
I'm incredibly afraid of, I appreciate that. And I try, and I'm incredibly afraid of failing. And I feel as though, you know, when I do something, I really delusionally believe that it's going to be the biggest thing ever. So I keep you're right, but I keep everything I put out. I am very disappointed it is not on the evening news. So
not yet.
Not yet.
Florida man wanted for murder.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
And Boca.
Boca man.
Boca man throws cups out on the wrong night.
Yeah. This son of a bitch doesn't know garbage.
Yeah.
If that story becomes the story, then I'll be so mad.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be it. We're going to see it. But we'll be excited, though, when we do see it, because we're like, oh, all right.
Yeah. Hey,
we know that guy.
we call the cops.
But yeah, I mean, but for real though, to keep up that energy is, you know, incredible to that energy that you have and to keep it up through all the shows, the podcasts that you do. And even like Ryan was saying before, the Instagram. So like when The Bachelor comes on, if for listeners who might not know that you Instagram along with it, basically, you know, you make Instagram stories and, you know, come up with this hilarious commentary. And it's not even like it's an hour later, it's, you know, right on the money. It's right then.
Yeah, man. It's, it is the most fun thing. I love reality TV, and I loved whenever I would date someone and watch shows with them, I always had opinions.
Right.
And I also have a knowledge of reality. I've just been watching reality TV my whole life, and I love it. And I've watched a little bit of most shows that are on TV, including like Lucas Lagoons and, you know, in Crazy Pools, like on HGTV. Like I watched shit like that.
Man, I don't even. All right.
The craziest part about Extreme Pools, okay?
Oh, okay. Extreme Pools.
I think it's on Discovery.
Right.
And one day, I think I'm the only one in the world watching this. One day I was I'm with my parents and I was like, man, I was like, you guys got to watch this Extreme Pool show, like kind of joking. And my dad goes, Lucas Lagoons? Like he knew the show. He was like, I watch it all the time.
Wow.
Like, oh, I guess this all makes sense now.
You're like, I get it. I know where I'm supposed to live.
This is where I'm home.
Yeah.
So I would be chirping at these shows. And then I started live tweeting The Bachelor because I was sick one night and I just stayed home and they were getting such a response. And then I kind of fell into this whole Bachelor Nation thing. And then I was tweeting and the tweets, like, I just, you know, tweets just aren't, it's not where it's at for me. I like it. I use it. I use it like a notebook, but like it's tough to become a stand-up comedian via Twitter. I think it's like, there's no personality. People want to like become a fan of a stand-up that they feel like they know or feel like they connect with. And Twitter isn't really the place for me, at least, especially I'm not like a political guy. And I think politics really rules there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I started, instead of live tweeting, I started live screaming The Bachelor because I scream all the time.
Yes, yeah.
And
why, yes.
I started doing that, and then all of a sudden, people were watching, and people started being like on my stories, and people were like telling me like it was like I was doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, like you said, like I do it within 5 minutes of it airing. So it's like an improv show. Like
right.
I'm improvising with The Bachelor and it's been like the coolest, most fun thing for me. And I mean, the amount of people that watch is crazy. The amount of people that like talk to my mom about it. Like my mom the other day was like, yeah, people like know, you know, my mom got a text from her friend telling her that like her friend that was like at my bar mitzvah growing up, like her granddaughter is a fan of it. And like my mom, I was like, I can't believe it. Like, yeah. So it's just like, it's just crazy the reach of it, but it's also like, that's, to me, it's like a great way to introduce myself to people. It's like, and when I do shows, when I do stand up, they come, like the crowd is there to hear about The Bachelor. There's like a good, like,
that's hilarious.
There's a good amount of them. And I, you know, I just did a special where I talked about, I did about a half hour of COVID material. And then I get done with the COVID material. I'll be like, okay, I also love TV, and people go crazy. And I just kept thinking of like the people that like didn't know that I watched The Bachelor. And I was like, I love The Bachelor. And then all these women would be like, woo! And I'd be like, I could tell you were all wondering, when's it going to happen?
Like, when's he going to do it?
When's he going to do it? It was, it's like I was walking around a watermelon with a mallet, you know? And it's funny because there's people in the show, like the show's going well. Like there's nothing that I never wanted to be someone who like did something and then have people come to the show. And then like, I have to be Mr. Bachelor show every time. Like with the coolest part is that like everyone who likes the live stream that comes to a show, they're waiting for the Bachelor jokes, but they're there for anything. Like I'm never, any joke I make about The Bachelor, I would make about anything else. It's like, you know, it's really my personality, which is so cool.
That's great that you don't have to like, you know, weave it in if you don't want to, but, you know, and you can sort of organically weave it in. And then when you do, the fans are like, he's playing the hits.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah, exactly. Well, some of them think it's going to be like a Bachelor discussion group. And I had to like switch it to be like, hey, listen, I love The Bachelor, but like, this doesn't mean we're going to get into breakout groups and make top 10 group, you know, like, lists. Yeah. It's like you have to warn them, but it's genuinely a good time.
This episode of Joke Artist is brought to you by Free Prints. Think about it. You've got some great photos on your phone, but what are you doing with them? If you don't have Free Prints yet, you gotta get it. Free Prints is a free app for your iPhone and Android that lets you print all of those photos for free. You get 1,000 free 4x6 photo prints a year, and all you pay is a small shipping charge.
Ooh.
Small, guys. We're talking small here. You could even print photos at other sizes for next to nothing. Notice how specific that is.
Next to nothing?
So listen to that. Small shipping charge and next to nothing prices. All you have to do is select the photos you want to print, choose the sizes, and you're done. Your premium quality prints will arrive on your doorstep in just days. So again, to recap, you're paying a small shipping charge. You're also paying next to nothing, and it'll arrive in just days. It doesn't get more specific than that.
Amazing. Next to nothing was the shirt my mom would always put on when we took pictures together. You know, now that I think about it, that was quite mean of her. But either way, Free Prints is one of the world's you know, most favorite apps, if you didn't know that. You download it now at freeprints.com and start enjoying real, professional, quality free prints. No subscriptions, no commitments, just like that relationship you're in. Just Free Prints. Again, go to freeprints.com to get the app and your 1,000 free prints. And if you do print 1,000 pictures, we think you're pretty disgusting, because that is way too many. That is way too many pictures to print.
That's so cool that, yeah, you do attract such a wide range of fans that maybe if you didn't talk about The Bachelor, you never would have reached, you know? Like, you could get women that are your mom's age, or women that actually, or guys that are fully invested in the show. And then there might be guys like you that just like to chirp at it and think it's funny to joke about, and have them all totally come to a show. That's a really cool melting pot. You said you just recorded a half hour special, though?
Yes. I recorded a half hour special. It is, I recorded it on New Year's Eve.
Wow.
And it's all about 2020.
Did you film it in Boca?
Awesome.
I filmed it in Indianapolis. So I had a socially distanced weekend at the Helium Comedy Club in Indy. And it was about, I've been doing this material since July at like wineries, breweries, outdoor street corners. And it was like, I basically had an opportunity. And I had been talking about COVID on stage from my perspective that seemingly connected with everyone that was at the show. And it was, and I was like, so my, there was a point where I was like, let's see if I can get this to 20 minutes. Let's see if I can get it to 30 minutes. And I got to 30 and I was like, let's tape this. Let's do it. And see what happens. And to do it on New Year's Eve of the worst year that most of us have ever had. I was like, I don't know if there's anyone. I was like, you know, there's a little piece of me that I'm like, who else is doing this? You know?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So when can fans see that?
Either 2 or 3 weeks. We just finished editing and it's going in for sound mixing. And then it's ready. So awesome. It's going to go on my YouTube. Yeah, I didn't really have any.
So March?
It'll probably be last week of February, maybe around there. It'll be February. And I don't, you know, my issue with stand up personally, and this is my belief, is like, you know, I do a lot of things, and I think, like, in stand-up, like, if you're in New York and you do stand-up, you know that I'm there, but I don't think, like, I don't think people only know me as that, and that's what I do, you know? So, the idea of, like, selling it wasn't really on my mind. This is not, like, you know, that's, of course, I would, you know, I'm not going to be like, no, money, I'm not above right. that.
Yeah,
you know, but
I'm not interested in money.
Yeah, who needs such trivial things during a global pandemic?
Yes, pathetic. I live in Boca, where money right. doesn't money's meaningless.
In my parents' basement, so I was like, but I'm also realistic, and I was like, let's put this out. See what happens. And yeah. And also it's just the stressful part for me, the part I'm scared about is it's like I can go up and like right now I have like a half hour material about weight shit that I would do. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that shit is more written and polished because I've been doing it for a long time and I'm just comfortable talking about this stuff. This is purely about what's going on this year and kind of the social, what I believe is the social, I do believe people are afraid socially more than they are of the disease, which I think is incredibly interesting.
What do you mean by that? You think that, you mean people are afraid that socially to get together because of it, or you're saying just in general, just the social awkwardness of people?
I think they're afraid of the social ramifications of doing the wrong thing when they're legitimately just trying to live and live by the rules and wear the mask.
Oh,
and
gotcha.
Really just, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think, like, I'll give you an example. I was in Boca when I've been here for a while, and there was a family that was outside doing a socially distanced hangout. And they're a very nice family. They're like the grandpa, the mom, the dad, the kids, the grandkids. It was very nice and sweet. I was working out like 10 feet away. And I watched them, you know, hanging out. And it was very sweet and whatever. And then at some point, the grandma who like looked like she looked like she could have been my grandma, you know, and she goes, get in. Come on. Let's take a picture. Come on, get in, picture time. And then they go to get together for the picture. And then she goes, oh, no, put on your masks. Put on
right,
your masks.
Right,
and
right.
I'm like, what is going on here? Like, they are legitimately afraid. Like, they're going to fake it for who?
Yeah, you know? Right, because they have to post the picture with the mask.
Well, I guess you have someone post it. Sure, yeah, I guess they got to. I don't know. Or maybe they don't.
Even the grandmother was aware
right.
of, like, what are we going to look? We don't want to look bad. And it's like,
yeah, now anybody can be canceled. Now it's families, a sweet old grandmother canceled.
Yeah. Right? And I'm not even, like, I'm not trying to be that, like, cancel culture person. I'm not trying to be that person.
Not.
I'm just saying, like, I'm like, I couldn't believe that this sweet family moment was interrupted by Big Brother,
right?
Of our own creation.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. And it was also interrupted because you were working out in front of them, staring at them,
shouting numbers, one,
right,
two, all
puking.
Your reps.
Yeah, that's why she's like, put the mask on, he's vomiting on us.
Yes, that man over there.
You're like, look at this.
Yeah, check these guns out, Grandma. You like what you see? And she was like, I guess. I do. Of course I do. And you were like, well, I don't know, why don't you do something about it?
I guess. She might have been right. There's a lot of spittle in the air with me. So
right.
I think, like, again,
it turns out it was
like,
just you. It had nothing to do with the social.
It had nothing to do with the picture, the social ramifications.
Yeah, it was just you spitting into the air.
But it was just so interesting to me to watch that interaction and be like, okay, like, listen, I'm so aware that, like, we have to social distance. We got to put on masks. We got to figure this out. We have to be respectful of people. We have to, but it's like, I think a lot of people, you know, kind of have this feeling of like, I'm just hoping I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah. I mean, you walk into a store here in New York. I don't know if it's the same thing in Florida, but you know, here in New York, you know, you have to put your mask on. I mean, I put it on for two reasons. I mean, I don't know. I just don't want to get sick because to me, it just sounds like it would be actually annoying.
Of course.
And then also I guess, but I want to respect others around me just in case everything is what everybody says it is, just in case that, so.
But that's what most people I think are doing. I think we're, right now we're like, I'm in Florida and people make fun of Florida all the time, but I generally see people wearing masks. Like, people are acting more brazen than New York, no question. But the idea that, like, everyone here is, like, spitting on each other in between waving a MAGA flag is crazy.
Right.
And it's like, so, but I don't think it's right here. I also don't think what's going on in New York is right. Like, I don't think either of those quote-unquote solutions are actually productive. Like, there's got to be a line to, like, and listen, all these things are hard, and that's I think that's been the great disappointment, is that nobody wants to take responsibility for giving hard truths.
Sure.
and that's very political, and that's annoying. Like, yeah, it's really, really hard, and I think, like, you can tell, like, my anxiety, I've never had anxiety in my life. This year I've had sleepless nights.
Oh, I bet.
And that's if I'm doing that, I would assume you guys are having a little bit more anxiety. I would assume most people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same thing. Yeah. I never felt like I did this year before this year. I was like, hey, what the hell is this? These are new feelings that I don't want.
Jason was a robot last year, and because of the anxiety, he did grow a human heart. Which
yeah,
is
I'm a real
amazing.
Boy now.
Yeah, I'm happy for you, Jason.
Oh, thank you. Call me Pinocchio if you don't mind.
But that is so interesting, though, because then, like, then there's this fear. You know, Jason, you say what you just said, and then it's like, well, there are people with bigger problems. It's like, man. You can't even air a problem,
right?
You know, without being reminded that, hey, you know, quiet down. There's other things going on. And I try, that's kind of what I'm trying to talk about and trying to make people feel better through connecting through the special is like, hey, like, we're all giving this a nice college try.
Right. Yeah. I think people do forget, though. I think people are forgetting that literally It's not like just New York. It's not Florida. It's not just California, blah, blah, blah. It's literally the entire planet who's affected by this disease. And that's where I think people really forget, though, because especially here in New York, like, hey, I can't go into a restaurant, blah, blah, blah. But then you're like, well, wait, wait. It's the rest of the world. Not that restaurants are shut down other places, but it's just that it's not like it's the virus is just here. It's, you know, it's everywhere. Whether I agree or disagree with how they're handling it here is that's another point. But it's just I wish there was a happy medium of like, hey, let's really actually try to figure this out instead of doing whatever it is that we're doing at this moment. Because
I just wish you had to be blood related to the person to tell them what to do. Like, I just wish, like, listen, if you want to tell someone to put a mask on, I'd be like, I'm gonna have to see some you know, I'm gonna have
genealogy
to
genealogy test
our I need a 23andMe from you to tell me to put, you know, that my picture wasn't taken the right way. Like, that family shouldn't have to worry about, you know, Mrs. Aunt Steen, the next door neighbor.
Hate that lady. Fucking
yelling at them from her kitchen sink window to be like, hey,
LeBron
didn't wear the mask today.
And it's true because, you know, the one thing, I mean, there's many things that this whole year has proved, but one thing is that we need human interaction. You know, like we cannot survive talking on the phone or through Zoom, whatever. We do eventually need human touch, human interaction, because when we're just inside and you get clips of what's going on and it all looks horrific and you can't go to a comedy club and laugh and experience the community and be on, feel like, oh, okay, I get it. We're all feeling the same thing. When you feel even more isolated to what you were saying in the beginning, it's like being trapped in this loop and you start to think, am I the only one feeling this way? And then just compounding anxiety and worry, and it's a nightmare.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And that's really what I'm nervous about with the special is I hope that is the sentiment that comes through, is that everyone is trying their best. Like, and it's like, you know, that connective thing of like, I just, you know, and anyone can take moral high ground on anything. And that's the toughest part right now, is like, the only thing to do right now is take moral high ground, because you just, nobody wants to be evil.
Sure.
You know, like nobody's like wants to be that person. Like, as much as like, you know, we all think that everyone on the news is like somebody on an airplane just like coughing on purpose on someone next to them. It's like, no, it's not. There's, for every one of those people, there's like 1,000 moms who are just trying to like figure shit out and
hope
that, you know, their marriage is okay.
Yeah, right. Their marriage, their livelihoods, everything. They're hoping it's okay. And then they see someone's story. It's like, remember, you got to wear the mask. It's like, I'm wearing the goddamn mask. I'm trying to save my family here. Enough with the mask. I'm wearing it.
Like, I'm wearing it. It's in my pocket. Like, I saw one time, there was one day that it was like someone was posting on their stories just taking videos of people not wearing masks outside. And I was like,
oh my God,
let the person fucking walk. I don't know. Like, talk to your dad.
Yeah. As long as that person's not like going up to strangers and licking their faces. I mean, you know, you can't.
Which is the name of your special.
Yeah. Going up to strangers, licking your faces.
That's the name of the special.
Yes. Licking faces.
Yeah. It was also the original title to Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond.
Licking faces.
And then he changed it to Touching Me, Touching You, I think. He was a quick change of lyrics.
I really hope that, like, you know, Jason and I were nestling in, not that we would, but we're nestling in to watch your special, and it just opens up and you are, I forget the name of the guy who hosted Family Feud back in the 70s. It was Richard Dawson. And it's you just kissing everyone on the lips, being like, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming, sweetheart. And Jason and I look at each other, we go, we promoted this guy. He killed everybody.
Oh, shit. And then at the end, you're like, I killed.
That's the sentiment of the special. We totally agree.
Yes.
Looking
There's a big long wink at the camera. It's really 10 minutes of stand-up, but 20 minutes of winking.
It's actually just Jeffrey Toobin's video from his, his Zoom meeting.
So you're breaking it down step by step. Well, here's what I would have done if it...
Oh my God.
As you can see, pubes have not been shoven.
That'd be awesome. You should. That would be great. I would love to hear, like, do what you do for The Bachelor on Instagram, and do that for like courtroom cases.
I've had high profile cases. People have messaged me to do it for politics, like political things, and I'm like, are you fucking crazy?
No,
like,
you think that's no. Like,
no
you're
way.
Gonna, you're gonna really amp it up. I'm gonna go from the least offensive thing in the world to the most. Like,
right. You know what? I want to isolate half of my fans.
Yeah. Let's really back myself up into a corner here.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, probably 100%. They would all be like, what did you just say?
Yeah. Damn it. I lost everybody.
Yeah, I shouldn't have taken their advice.
Everybody needs just the right amount of fuel to get going in the morning. For some, a nice McDonald's egg and cheese bagel is just enough to do it. Others might prefer a McDonald's bacon egg and cheese bagel. Or perhaps a sausage egg and cheese bagel. And there are those where nothing will do but a hearty McDonald's steak egg and cheese bagel. Four different breakfast bagels to get you going. Tomorrow morning, give your engine a head start at participating McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
But yeah, no, we'd love to see that. And yeah, we're really excited for your special and to see it. And, you know, it sounds awesome. And it's just a great time to release a special, especially on your own. I mean, because, you know, with clubs, you know, not every club being open, and the human interaction, and just giving the opportunity for people to sit back for a half hour and laugh and just feel sort of normal.
That's the goal, man. That is the goal. And I'm hoping for the best. You know, who knows?
Yeah, no, that's fantastic.
My girlfriend and I watched this week's Bachelor episode. And
okay,
this
was one of the most interesting ones.
Yes. And, you know, it was a crash course for me. And I mean, Jason and I were talking about it before the phone call, that the Bachelor, Matt, to us just kind of seems like, when are we going to get to know more about him? He just kind of seems like this cardboard cutout guy,
right?
That you don't really get. He's almost just like,
I just feel like,
I don't
he's
know, there's nothing
dead
to
eyes.
Him.
Like if someone made dead eyes a person, that's him.
I'll say this. It's very hard to get to know the Bachelor or Bachelorette for that matter. Like whoever's that main character, it's hard to get to know them because it is about the contestants. You're
True.
Just supposed to come in saying this person is is someone I would want to date or someone you know would want to date. That's kind of what, because usually you meet them on the season before. And
right.
Because we don't know Matt James from anything before the season, we don't really know him. We just know him as this energetic, really good-looking guy who seems nice enough. You know,
that's
like
a good point.
I really. So it's tough to get to know him because, and also there's been so much action with the contestants, but you kind of have to trust that Matt James is a catch based off of, listen, I trust he's a catch because look at him. I trust he's a catch because his background is so great and the work he does with kids and stuff like that. But also the women really fucking want to date him. Like, and that, I think you know, I don't mean this to be a negative towards the women on the show, even though this word seems negative, but they seem more desperate for him than in past seasons. Hmm. Like it feels like, and I don't know. I think that also could be a reflection on dating today. Like, I think like that is kind of a reflection on like, I don't think any of like these women are young women. I don't think any of them are like dating guys that are like being serious. Like he is like they're probably dealing with the worst of the worst type of dudes that are like deep. They're probably getting the worst type of DMs, the worst type of messages, and guys that just want to hook up. And they're on a show with this really eligible bachelor who's got such a great, you know, demeanor, fun, great, and good looking is just like, yep, I want to be married. And I think right. for a lot of them, that's like such a shock to the system. They're like, well, he must be the only one left. And I've actually talked to some former contestants, and the one thing they all say is that they're like, when you're on the show, it is easy to get swept off your feet by the show. It is such a bubble. All, you know, you're in an intense situation that you share with this one person that no one else can understand. They're like, it does happen. So it is. So I do agree. Like, we don't get a lot of Matt James moments, but I think I kind of trust that he is a really like a catch because of the way the women are just so pumped to be with him.
Gotcha. Yeah. I didn't know that about his background. And to your point about them, you know, being really into this guy, he's a catch, he's older, wants to get married right away. It does make me laugh though. When they're like, hi, I'm, you know, so-and-so. And you know, I've been dating for a few years. I just haven't found Mr. Right. I'm really looking to settle down. And you just look at their ID and it says that they're 22 or you're like, no, you haven't been dating. You
haven't even been alive.
Anything. You haven't graduated yet.
I do a preview for every season where I like make fun of every single contestant's bio before the season.
Okay.
And that is a consistent thing where someone will be like, oh, I've been single forever. And they're like, and I'm 21. I graduate next year from Columbia. And you're like, oh, forever. Like, I don't know. It is one of those things where men think they're young forever and women think they're old right away.
Wow. Yeah, it is wild to me though, and I guess maybe it's because of the editing. I don't know, because I only started watching last season, and then I'm watching this season, and it's something about maybe the editing then that's making the women seem like they are kind of nonstop fighting, but also. It's hard to tell who the women are to me. Like, I can't say from my perception that I don't know if they're there for fame, some of them, or if they're actually there to date him.
That's kind of the fun of the season, is figuring that out along the way. That's what I find fun, because not one person is on any reality show just for the show.
Right.
Like, whatever the premise of the show, like, it's unfair. Matt James isn't there to just find his wife. Matt James is there to, you know, kind of collect the riches of a huge following that will come with the show.
Sure. Yeah, it's funny because it sounded like you were like redoing the voiceover for the intro. Like, he's not just there for a wife, but he's also there to collect the riches.
He's here for the right reasons financially.
Yeah.
like, there is a... Like, there's a little bit of Hunger Games aspect of The Bachelor where it's like,
right.
Once you're The Bachelor, like, you've kind of printed an annuity for yourself for a long time. Like, you're going to be okay for a while. Like, you don't really hear of any of these bachelors or bachelorettes, like, going back to work as, like, a real estate agent. Like, you don't hear that a lot. Like, they kind of do okay.
Yeah.
Right. So there's part of that, but then also, like, as the season goes on, you start to like weed out some of the exterior people and contestants, but also you're right. This season has been cattier, meaner. Like, they're not, that kind of works back into the desperation thing where it's like, they must all really see something in Matt to be this kind of like not nice to one another.
Right. Because they, I guess, you know, like you're saying, they really want him.
Yeah, but also then there's that woman, Victoria, and she's over the top mean.
Yeah.
And I think, like, she's, like, so over the top, like, just not... I called her the Donald Trump of the show because she just, like, creates realities that just aren't true for her to be able to, like, win arguments in. And... it's like, I think when there's one person like that, people, that piece of you that likes to talk shit knows you have someone to lean on. So that produces more shit talking.
Right. Oh, like with her and Anna, right? It's the alien from Mars Attacks with no lips.
Yeah, that girl, all teeth. Anna, she's got to fix that whole look. But she's gorgeous, but she also looks like Julie Bowen. But
oh yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that girl Anna got had a little bit of tea to serve. And yes. The first thing she did was go straight to Victoria. And it's like,
right.
I on the podcast, the Bachelor podcast, my co-host Kay Brown said that. And I was like, you're right. She went straight. She's like, I got some shit to talk.
Right.
Let's
Brittany.
Talk it out together. Yeah. Like, no, but well, that's when Brittany came in. The new girls, when they came in, it was like, that was scary almost. Like I was, and like, I got shit from people because I was like, this is very female to me. Like, that's just not how guys are.
Like, right.
Like, just not the way we argue. Like, she walked in and not one person got up and said hello. No, and then yes. one of the women is like, give me your crown. It's like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird. I mean, she really reminds me of, like, somebody who was on that old MTV show, Super Sweet 16, and when, like, she couldn't get,
yeah,
like,
right.
the horse for her bar mitzvah, you know, and the dad would be like, I'm getting it, okay? And she's like, no, forget it, dad. And she really reminds me of, like, whoever that was, but growing up, Victoria. And I do wonder if she is a real person, though. I go, is she? Could she have made it this far being that mean?
Well, that's the other thing. It's like the house, the women in the house aren't with Matt all day. Like in front of Matt,
yeah.
they're like, hi, and right. to each other, like, hi. You know, it's yeah. like totally different.
Do you think that it has to end at some point at night? Because that's my biggest question is I go, how come they only have a certain amount of time? Is it because, do you think because like it's union rules and the camera guys have to break? Because I go, why do they have to make the date? Like, oh, you got 2 minutes, you know? And I didn't even get to talk to Matt tonight. And it's like, huh? How come you didn't get to talk to him? That's the part I don't understand. I mean, like the camera guys, you know, off camera, obviously going, hey, I got to take a break. Hey, thoughts, you got to go. I got to go to sleep.
I think that's got to be that they just know 2 hour cocktail party and they're like, have at it. And they just know this is like, you know, it's like you're basically creating drama out of nothing because, you know, time is everything.
Right. Yeah. It's like when they say like, hey, can I just steal him for a second? Like, actually, I haven't had any time with him at all today. Can I, you know, can you come back in five? You know, like they want to interrupt. It's right. just so good. I love it.
But it's so weird, though, because they give them no time. Like there's not enough time to get to know the guy. Like
that's the drama.
Well, there's also like 25 women.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like if you're on a date with 12 women and they're like, our date is we're going to go do a relay race. Like, and then it ends like, hey, like Matt James has to go back and shower.
Right.
Like they all have to go back and get ready. Like I get, you know, but also they must know they're like, if we let this go forever, it'll go forever. Like,
yeah, they'll have like endless amounts of footage.
Yeah.
Do you think anybody's there just for the food? Like, and any of the seasons you've ever seen? I always wondered that if
There's
someone was
no
like, hell
food.
Yeah. Well, they never show food. They never show it, but there has to be food somewhere, right?
There's got to be a craft service table.
Right.
They show it in like the bloopers after.
Yeah.
But it's the food is a topic of conversation that comes up a lot where it's like, why don't they eat? They made a charcuterie board a couple episodes ago, so I got like a million DMs about
that. Oh, yes, I saw that.
And that was like they basically picked up like meat and cheese and then they put it down again. Like they didn't even like I would be the person if I was on The Bachelor, it'd just be me eating on every scene and like just looking disgusting.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking the same thing. I'd be like, yes, I got in. Now all I have to do is ride it out and like, you know, unlimited food and drinks until like, you know, the very end and they're like, so I choose you and I'm like, ah, I'm sorry, I was just here for the food.
Yeah, like Matt comes up to you, goes, hey, did you want to talk to me for a minute? And you go, I'm good.
Yeah.
Hey, you tried the charcuterie board? Yeah.
And then I get a food endorsement at the end. Like, that would be my dream. Like, some sort
of
like.
Yeah, Triscuits comes after you.
Yeah, like, yeah. The Katz's Deli is like, hey, we saw you eating that sandwich. Would you like to, you know, do a commercial for us? And then so on and so forth. And my food career begins. And
so Jason is Looking for a career.
I tell you a dream. Come on, you can go at any moment.
Well, I do think people do come on the show and they're like, they are looking like the last Bachelorette was Tayshia, and her season was started as Claire's season.
Right.
And Claire tried to say this line like that she's just going to show up. Her line of the season. And it's like you can kind of tell, like, they're, you know, not just the food endorsement. People are like, I got T-shirts to sell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That and Cloud Nine. Just everybody's on Cloud Nine. And I'm like, stop saying it. Stop saying Cloud Nine.
I also love when they, you know, the contestants, guy or girl, is talking, you know, they talk about what their career and say they say they're a teacher and they care so much about their kids. And it's like, oh, yeah, you care so much about your students. So you left for a year to film this show and not teach them.
I taught them that love is more important.
It is. There are so many things like that where you're like, that's not your job anymore.
No.
Like, your job is going to be a podcast in 6 weeks.
Yeah,
it's,
and we
weirds me out because when people say, you know, they left their dying parents at home to be here and then they leave, whatever, and you're like, well, why'd you do it? Like, there's no way if my family was dying, I'd be like, I gotta meet the man of my dreams. I gotta do it. I gotta leave.
Yeah,
I don't understand
that. That would be me too, but it is interesting that they like play that over music. And like,
right.
That's the power of The Bachelor is like, she was telling her story about her dad passing away. And you're like, this is amazing. And I remember thinking like, if I were Matt James, I'd be like, you should go home. Like I would like, I would feel too much pressure.
Yeah.
That like, I'm wasting her time. Like,
and sure.
He took it. And maybe it tells you something about me. Maybe I'm just not a good person. Cause he was like that. He was like, I'm so, what was the word? He was like, I'm so honored she would be here. I'm like, I don't know about honor. I mean, I guess you could look at it that way. But to me, I'd be like, no, you listen, I got a car coming. You're very nice and beautiful, but I'm going to send you back.
Yeah, like you got to get out of here now because
yeah,
I don't know what the repercussions are of if you stay.
I don't want to be, I don't want that on my conscience, but I,
right. Especially if you're not going to pick them.
Right.
It's like, no, you should stick
around.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, oh, she's cute. Like I, you shouldn't be in that conversation with such high stakes.
Yeah, no, no.
Yeah, it's wild. But he did sleep with them first before they left. So, no, I'm kidding.
He's like, you gotta go. The car's waiting. Also, my bed I had brought over here before you leave.
Yeah.
I know you gotta go see your dying dad, but you wanna go ziplining real quick?
Yeah.
you wanna go in a hot air balloon and.
Yeah, one that can only
lift. Different girl I'm talking about, but I just love like their dates are so funny.
I love the hot air balloon element. How
that's
it only
tied
went
to
so
the ground.
Far. It only went so far.
Yeah, you see the giant ropes. They're like they're not going fucking anywhere.
Yeah.
They're like pulling.
Well, they had to tether it to the hotel.
Yeah.
So that the women could come out on the porch
right.
And be given binoculars.
Yeah.
Look at them. That was amazing.
And we were just thinking about the hot air balloon operator who's awkwardly standing in there while they're making out hardcore. And he's like,
right.
This is really weird to me, guys.
Rubbing an elbow on their back as they're like making out. Yeah.
I can hear the kissing sounds over the flames of the...
And that...
yeah.
Hey, guys, you want to go up? A little higher? Okay, you're making up. Never mind.
Cool,
that's
cool.
What made me laugh, though, is because right before they went on the hot air balloon, they were popping balloons. And then they go up on a hot air balloon. I was like, oh, please tell me they get confused and they pop it.
Yeah. Do we use this huge cartoon clothes hanger
to
pop this one through? Yeah.
and then it goes right to credits. Everyone dies.
Yeah. The other contestants should be allowed to throw arrows at the hot air balloon while they're up there.
The way they're acting, they definitely would have.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of Joke Artist. We want to thank Jared yet again for being on our show. Just such a treat to talk to him. You can go to his website, jaredfreed.com, to you know, keep up with his podcast, what he's doing, where he's going, what,
who
you know,
he's doing, what he's smelling, what he's eating, what he's kissing, who he's kissing,
right, how he's kissing,
where he's living, how he's living, and who he's living.
Right.
That last one didn't make any sense.
No, the last one you can't find on his website. So, yeah, but you can find check him out on social media. Go to his YouTube. Get ready for his special. Listen
subscribe
to his podcast.
Subscribe
to all of them. Unsubscribe to this one. Subscribe to his.
Yeah.
And then you could resubscribe to ours, which is fine.
Do it in that order and only that order.
Only
and then
that
don't
order.
Forget to rate our show, because if you don't rate us, you have to date us.
It's true. It's in the contract. You listen to the show. That's what you're legally signing.
Yes.
So... pucker up, but no, but so you could listen to us on believe.com. That's BLEAV.com. You could also find us on, well, you already found us. You're listening to it. So, you know, what am I saying? You already know.
You can find us on a podcast site or anywhere. You can also find us, you know, in the Wendy's parking lot begging for burgers.